Mariner Mobile.
And 4ZLK Mobile.
Good afternoon. It's my lucky day. Let me turn this radio down. I got to talk to Gary and Patrick on the way down from cardiac rehab to talking to you, and you just can't beat that. That's far uptown as you can get. How's your day?
It's a joy to talk to you as well. And if Bernice is there, hello. I'm doing well. I just left your neck of the woods. I had to go over and pick up a couple of posts that I had on order from a lumber company. And I had to talk him into taking one of them back because I needed it a lot straighter than the one. One was pretty warped. And wouldn't have mattered that much if I was using it for framing or something like that. But where it's going, it's going to be visible. And it's, I mean, it was very noticeable to me, but it, more importantly, it's going to be visible to Beth, and she would have picked it out immediately that it wasn't straight. So I'm bringing home one and have to wait on the other one.
Nice job on that, what I've seen of it, Shane. That is not uncommon. The wood anymore, you really got to watch it. And even if you try to hand pick it when you go to Lowe's or Home Depot, if you're just buying two-by-fours or something, or even plywood, it can be a mess, and they still sell it.
I understand. I mean, if you're going to chop it up into small pieces, to scrap stuff, or stuff that's going to be hidden, it's not that big of a deal. Or you might be able to make use of it, but these two are going inside the house to replace a couple of columns in the house, and I asked the guy. He said, well, if it's not out more than 3/4 of an inch for 8 feet, then it's an industry standard. And I said, yeah, it may be industry standard, but it's not what I want. What am I supposed to do, keep buying them until they come in straight? And, you know, I tried to be nice about it, and he helped me out. They kept the one and said they'll do something with it, and they'll order another one for me. So, which is only right because, you know, like I said, I don't want to keep buying them. I shouldn't have to buy them to find out if they're warped or not, in my opinion.
You're exactly right. What would you say? It was a 4x4 chain? What's it made out of?
A 6x6, and it's made out of cypress. So it's a kind of really blonde wood. It's really pretty. Apparently, he was talking to the guy on the phone, his supplier, and they said they've had trouble getting into the swamps because of all the flooding and all the hurricanes that have been going on. So the last load of lumber they got was pretty, or the last bit of trees they got to process into posts and beams were pretty scrappy. But I guess they just tried to send one anyway. It's funny because the other one was perfect, but side by side you could really see the difference.
I've accepted it either. I think Bernice would have noticed that without any question. I know I will. I see a picture hanging crooked on the wall, and it bothers me. But I'm a little anal about those things. But I am not a good woodworker by any means. She's wanting to make a new chicken nest. They keep breaking eggs, the older ones. And she's got it in her mind how to make one where they roll down, you know, after they lay them. I have a problem even seeing how to do that. So you can imagine anything professional like what you're doing, I'd be at a complete loss.
I'm not. My plan was to not have to do much to it other than cut it to size and mount it and then finish it with something. I don't have the equipment to take a tree and turn it into that post, but that's why I had to order it. But I actually have a couple posts from some pine that I cut down on my property. Very solid, very very close grained, heavy solid pine, heart pine. It's gonna make some good legs for a workbench I have in mind that I'd like to build eventually. So a friend of mine that I used to work with has an old sawmill, but for what I wanted inside my house, it wouldn't have worked. So that's why I had to go somewhere else to buy them.
They don't give lumber away anymore, that's for sure, Shane. Well, I decided I'd pull in here and top the gas tank off, which it don't really need it, but I'm going to do it anyway. Wow, there is a Honda four-wheeler that looks to me like about $15,000 sitting there on the back of a trailer. That is a big one. Those are getting real popular now. It got bucket seats and the whole nine yards. It's a Honda. But maybe I'll pick you up in a couple of minutes, Shane, and I'm about 5 miles from home, I guess, not even that far. Great talking to you today. N4ZOK0GR73.
And I'll be in for a while. I'm probably going to stop and top off too, but it's not going to be for a little while. Talk to you later. And if I don't, have a great weekend. N0TR, N4ZLK Mobile.
N4ZLK, K4HNR.
What time is it? Shouldn't you be at work?
Not much about work all day. It's been a great Friday. I'm on my way back. I just got back to Greenville from Waxhaw on the other side of Charlotte, coming back from a clay shoot.
That's great. How'd you do? I'm sure it was fun. Beautiful day for it.
It was awesome. It was the 106.9, the light clay shoot that they put on. This is their 50th year doing it, and our company's team, they came in third place the first year, and they came in first place the last 3 years in a row. And today I was on the team, so I brought down the team a little bit, but we squeaked out third place again. So we placed. We got a little trophy.
Did you take your own personal weapon, or did they supply the weapons?
No, but my boss, who I was filling in for today, he was out of town. He's trying to sell his expensive one, so he's trying to, I'm not going to buy it, but he was trying to talk me into it last week, and so of course I was like, let me talk to Gabby about it, let me think about it, hey, why don't you let me use it at this clay shoe you want me to fill in for, get a good feel for it, you know, give it a run, see how it works, and so of course, he's Mr. Salesman, he was like, oh yeah, that's a great idea, yeah, take it, let me know, see how you like it, and let me know, and of course, all day knowing I'm not gonna buy it, but it was great. I got to use a very expensive weapon, and I'll just give it back to him. But I took good care of it, and I like mine. Mine's a little cheap one, and I'm just used to it, so we'll use that one on the next one.
The gun, say, that was the reason you came in third instead of first.
Exactly what I did. That's right. Yeah, it was about half the weight of mine and a little bit shorter. And, you know, I've got these long arms. I'm used to mine. Mine's a little bit longer, and he's shorter. And I think he had his, like, custom fit to him and everything, so his is very much sized for him. So Anthony, he was saying, you look a little awkward up there trying with your stance, and you got long arms, but you're using a shorter gun, and I don't know, it was fine. I definitely did not do very well, but yeah, I'll blame the gun.
Me using somebody else's custom-made gun to them, it's not going to, any custom-made anything, really, it's going to be difficult to use it as well, unless you're the same size. So was that Daniels? And second question, who all went, who all was on the team?
And yeah, that's what I was going to tell him. Like, good luck selling this thing, unless it's to someone who is exactly your size. I don't know. But it was me, Anthony, and then a guy that we use for some dumpsters. He's like our dumpster vendor up in Asheville. He's always on the team. So I was filling in for Daniel, and then your buddy Brent, he filled in for for Caleb, who was out of town. They were both out of town, so they needed two people off the bench today, but Brent actually shot better than Anthony, so they did pretty well.
Okay, well, that's cool. Yeah, that's good when you can come in as a substitute and shoot better than some of the regulars, so that always guarantees you at least a replacement spot next time.
Yeah, he was, apparently he shot competitively all through high school, and he had a very nice gun, and yeah, he was telling us all about it. He definitely shot like he had shot competitively before, put us all to shame, but yeah, it was good. And then Seth and I are going to go do one here in a couple Fridays at that same place, actually. It's always the Friday before Veterans Day. It's a Veterans Day shoot. So we'll get to go do that one, and that should be pretty fun.
Misunderstood you, but did you say Seth's going to go with you the next time?
Yeah, I guess it's for a general contractor is putting it on that I do a lot of work with for a lot of my jobs. So I talked to Daniel and Caleb and, you know, talked to them about me putting together my own team. So they didn't get the invite. I'm the captain, and I get to take whoever I want. So I'll take him and Cody and my buddy Dave. If we were going to try to place at that one, I probably would, but we're just going to go for a good old time at this one.
I'm happy for you. I heard you had lunch with Seth. Did he show you pictures?
Yeah, he told me all about it. It looked like he had a blast. He was talking about how toxic and dangerous and crazy the water is. That seemed like a whole lot of fun. But yeah, well, I'm pulling up to the house here. I don't want to cut it short, but we'll see y'all tomorrow. We can catch up a little bit more.
Thanks for the call. Say hello to Gabrielle. We'll look forward to seeing you tomorrow. And if I don't talk to you before then, definitely see you tomorrow, hopefully. K4HNR N4ZLK.
I just opened the garage door and realized I beat Gabby home. I think she ran out to the store or something, so we need to get her a radio so when she's out there mobile running around, she can stay in touch.
I know her mother, so all I can say is good luck with that.
Be able to pull that off, yeah, that's a really good point. That'd be the play of the century. Well, we'll see. I know she's bought in. She gets it, gets the concept, but we'll have to get her to study and get this test, pass this thing, but we'll see. Anyway, I'm going to run in here and get some stuff ready, so I will see you tomorrow, N4ZLK, K4HNR.
All right, Connor, we'll talk to you later. N4ZLK.
Just getting up near Lake Cunningham, Shane, so I'm not far from home. I got a net on my windshield on the inside that I do not like, but you can't mess with him or you drive off the road. Yeah, I guess they was talking shotguns and clay pigeons. I had a friend that he bought Wichita gun after he retired. He was the president of our company that I worked at 32 years. And he had them Purdy's and different shotguns like that. And I asked him, I said, well, which one of them go for, Tim? And he said, oh, that one's $25,000.
Just slightly above what I would want to spend on money. If it's $24.95 or something, maybe, but $25,000, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, me too. That's a little out of my pay grade, but his family was the second richest family in Kansas. So I don't think he was worried about it. But that's ironic, because I still got a pistol that my brother-in-law gave me that was an old carry pistol at Wichita Police Department. I never shoot it. And I give most of them to the grandsons and the grandkids already. But that was just kind of an heirloom, and it's got a Bomar barrel on it, and or Bomar rib, I guess it is, and a real heavy barrel. And he used it to shoot with the Wichita Police Force shooting team. And let me tell you, even when he was older, and he's passed away now, I had a hard time beating him when I go out to the farm and we set up targets.
There's a lot of good shooters out there. My mother's husband, he's a retired Greenville City police officer and also former drill sergeant in the U.S. Army. He used to shoot competitively both in the Army and in, for the police department. And he would load his own rounds and everything for shooting. He likes guns. He knows a lot about them, but he doesn't do much with them anymore. He's, 84, 84. But he's got some stories.
Message from the hospital here, Shane. This is 0TR.
4ZLK Mobile.
Call ended. I wasn't expecting that one. It was from Dorn Medical Center down in, I think it was in Columbia, but an appointment's in Anderson. Go figure, the government. And I already signed in for it and all that stuff that you do. But tell me your last transmission there, Shane.
I think I was talking about the man that married my mother. I guess I could probably call him my stepfather. It happened so late in life, it just kind of feels weird. He's a family friend from years ago. But anyway, he was a retired Greenville City police officer and retired U.S. Army drill sergeant. And he shot competitively. And he would, he'd always load his own rounds, use as little powder as he needed, you know, within the range. But he's a good marksman and he loves shooting.
You know, back in the old days, and I always loaded all my own, and I cast all my own bullets. And I didn't like to use bullseye because you could double charge it. You could triple charge a 38 Special or a 357 if you wasn't careful. And all I had back then was an old single stage Lyman press. But we got her done. So I'd use Unique instead, and there was a load for a 357. I can't find that powder anymore. Boy, it's just as fine as salt. But you could shoot, when you loaded it, that cartridge was about, 3/4 of the way full of powder. You could see it just, you know, you set them up in those plastic trays for bullets and that, or for the cartridge. And, boy, that was the best shooting dadburn load I ever had. And I had a .45 long cold in a Thompson Contender with a 10.5-inch barrel. And I'd load them up in that, and I had a... I give that mold away when I sold the pistol, but it was 215 grains, I think. And you could drive that a little over 1,000 foot a second in that thing because it's a breech like a shotgun, you know. Revolvers can't handle that kind of pressure. Man, you talk about accurate shooting. It was amazing. It really was. But when you're poor and you want a different gun, you had to sell that one just to get a different one, Shane.
Much about loading, he's shown me the process. He's got his machine will load 3 at a time. You set the first one in and it, whatever it does, you know, expands the cartridge. And then the next pull down does that to the second one and whatever it does for the second. I think it's processed three times or something. But I don't know anything about loading or any of the name brands or anything like that. I just know it's done, and maybe one day I'll look at it.
This is NGRLTR. Yeah, I rarely ever do it anymore. And then it's for the son-in-law up in Wisconsin, the one I give the guns to. But was that press, do you remember? Was it blue in color?
Well, I'm thinking that it was green, but that could be wrong, so I don't want to say for sure.
That's an RCBS. That's very fine. The blue ones were Dillon's, and that's what I have, and then the red ones were Hornaday. So I know what they are by color, but it is addictive. But I can't even sit down in front of a lead pot now long enough to pour bullets. Nah, I really hate that. It just something I miss. It happened, Shane. But it can run into a lot of money now just buying the initial equipment. And in the old days, I could load 38 specials for a nickel a round. But I know you can't do that now because primers back then were a penny a piece. You could buy 1,000 of them for $10. And now they're $80 for the same amount. And powder is $40, $50 a pound now. And I used to buy it in a brown paper bag from John's Sports Center for $2.75. That tells you how old I am.
I already knew how old you were. I'm just kidding. Yeah, it's definitely changed in price. Anyway, Tom, I've enjoyed it. I'm pulling in now to top off the tank. I got a little more than a quarter, so I'm going to fill up just so I'll make sure I have everything for the weekend. But good to talk to you. If you're still back in here when I get done, I'll give you a holler. I knew you were close to home. You and Bernice have a good weekend if I don't talk to you. And 0TR and 4ZLK.
Not Shane. She was out in the garden hoeing there, and I sneaked up behind her when I come in and honked the horn. And she jumped. Shoot. Yeah, we used to scrounge the lead from the tire shops and use wheel weights. And then we could get pure lead. They called pig lead from the telephone guys. They used lead in their work all the time back in the old days. Lead was about a nickel a pound. Now there's no smelters in the United States. It all comes from China or recycled down in Mexico. Different world out there. Take care, Shane. N4ZLK and 0TR. It's been a pleasure.